Shane Jones today. Thanks for your time, Shane. Tēnā koe.
Hi, morena.
You got the inside oil, mate. Is Luxon getting rolled today?
Yeah, looks all a bit untidy, eh? But the worst thing that any politician can do is feed this appetite, this virus that always exists in the media for the scoop. We went through that over the many years of drama with Phil Goff, David Shearer, David Cudliffe, and by that time I'd had enough, so I bailed out. But no, Emara, I cannot tell you one way or the other, but it all looks very untidy.
Yeah, the polls would suggest you guys, I'm saying you guys, the coalition government would have the numbers going forward. With that in mind, do you think that that might give him something of a security blanket from his own caucus? And would a change of leadership of the Nats affect your intent going into November 7?
Well, the first thing you've got to bear in mind is the public is struggling with a whole range of economic challenges, social connections, and they genuinely, in my experience, don't take kindly to MPs talking about themselves. That's the first thing. The second thing is that there's been a bunch of eruptions over the last few weeks, and I think that does destabilize how people look and think about any political party. And the PM has had a number of those faux pas and blunders, and presumably this has led to some sort of powwow amongst themselves. But looking at first, we've got to get out there. I've just been down to Motueka, 400 people, through to Taipotini, on my way to Christchurch tomorrow for a massive hydrogen hui, then off to Ngāmotu for a huge debate about the future of the oil and gas industry, otherwise known as New Plymouth. And then a bunch of public meetings back in your homeland around Hauraki, Matamata, and then into Parliament next Monday. So there's only 10 more days of question time. And that's often where we put ourselves on the grill, and the public watch and the media watch, and the we ask ourselves questions, or the opposition endeavour to put us on the mat. So we're in countdown territory.
Yeah, very much so. Yesterday's news came as no news to you or to Winston, I'd suggest, with Hipkins saying that he wouldn't work with New Zealand First in any government he leads, which poses the question, what if he wasn't leading? Is the issue between Winston and the Labour Party, or Winston and Hipkins? And if there was a choice between being in government or not, would it be conceivable that Hipkins would fall on his sword, saying, well, the party needs to go forward in government and rather than me? Is it a personal issue, do you think, or a party issue?
Oh, I think Chippy has developed a sense of confidence that he doesn't need us. We'd ruled him out anyhow. He believes probably that the Labour Party startup, the cat party, what do they call it, the tip-top party, the opportunities party, that he can govern with them. But we haven't yet sunk our fangs into that sort of economic heresy. And when we do, I do believe that they won't get 150,000 votes.
It's tough to get 5% of the vote, especially in a party that's sort of come out of nowhere. They talk about rogue polls. Do you agree with that, that some polls are set up by organisations who have vested interest in the outcomes?
Yeah, I mean, you should always bear in mind it's based on a statistical model, and you can't guarantee whether elements that intrude into a poll at a given point in time skew it. Look, we try not to toss and turn based on the most recent poll. You are right, however, it does influence the narrative. It influences the way in which the media characterize or frame the fortunes of a party. And you have to admit, Emara, that the media is coronating the young lady who's leading the Tip Top Party. And it's almost as if it's a foregone conclusion, but it won't go that way. You've got to get 150,000 legitimate voters to give you their vote. And if it was that easy, it would be happening on a regular basis.
I feel obliged to remind you that it's a political party and not an ice cream, Chief. So New Zealand First got English recognised as an official language. Meanwhile, there's a housing crisis, major unemployment, the cost of living through the roof. Some say distraction politics at its best. Thoughts?
Well, I've already articulated to you why we went with that particular piece of legislation. As our demography is engineered by these shadowy forces who want to overwhelm us with immigrants of all different origins, predominantly, however, Indian, more recently, that we don't want an importation of either a culture war from there, we don't want an importation of a set of cultural values that are inconsistent with New Zealand. So a good place to start is to remind everyone, New Zealand indeed has its original language, the Maori language of the Maori tribes, but it is one of the few nations of the world where language is conducted and day-to-day discourse is conducted in English. So any migrant coming here, let them be under no illusion. That's the ethos of this country.
Tēnā koe, Shane. The shadowy forces that are behind this, who might they be?
Oh, look, we're going to run a vigorous campaign about immigration. I know that it makes a lot of people awkward, but when you look at the absence of a mandate, when you look at the streaming in of so many young migrants taking the jobs of garden variety Kiwis who can no longer find those traditional jobs straight out of school, then that tells me a lot of people that are here, they're people we don't need. They're people that came here under the bogus cover of education, and now they've infiltrated the horticultural sector. The level of corruption in terms of labour practices, avoiding and never paying tax, it's stratospheric to the point that the IRD has now done a very unusual thing. They've issued a red code in the orchards, the Zespri ecosystem. I'm going to have a lot more to say about the conduct of Zespri during the course of this election. I believe they are facilitating and they are acquiescing with a level of commercial practice in their midst by these slave labour gangs that is absolutely horrific. I can't understand why the growers, I can't understand why Zespri, who's worked so hard to maintain its international brand, is now embroiled in a massive set of tax investigations in terms of the growers that are either shareholders of Zespri or they supply their product to Zespri. I think we've moved beyond the point that we've got to pay more attention to both the structure, the legal status, and how we can ensure that these big monopolies that we trust, such as Zespri, are they actually doing the right thing by their fellow Kiwis?
Pretty interesting kōrero there, Shane. Thanks very much for spending some time with us again. Look forward to our next kōrero. Mauri ora.
Hākete.
Tēnā koe, Shane Jones with us.